fade away. I'm going to retire out. Can a minister ever really retire out? That's not a thing, right? How many of you made choices today? Every one of us made choices today, didn't we? They chose choices on the clothes that you wore, the shoes you put on, whether you had breakfast or not, or whether you had coffee or soda or tea. And, you know, from looking at you, I say, really? That's what you chose to wear? May the Lord bless your choices. Every day, each one of us are confronted with choices that somehow can seem small and some that seem very, very large. When you drove to church today, you kind of decided which route to take because there was more than one way to get here. And so maybe somebody chose, well, let's swing by because I know there's a Dunkin' Donuts over there. You can grab some coffee and a donut. Over the course of time, we've chosen to listen to advice that was given to us by others, parents or preachers or friends or family members even. Often, when given the advice of others, we weigh it and we determine what kind of course of action we want to take. Are there any choices that you made when you received some kind of advice from parents or family or something, and then you didn't choose that, and then somewhere down the line you said, they were kind of wise, I should have listened to them? Anybody have any experiences like that? Like, my dad wasn't really all that out of his mind. He spoke some wisdom into my life, and I didn't receive it at the time. One's philosophy, one's belief, is not best expressed in words. One's philosophy, one's belief, is best expressed in the choices that you make. You want a good assessment of someone? Watch what they do, not just what they say. Am I right? In the long run, we shape our lives. In the long run, we shape our own characters and we develop our own selves. And the process never, ever ends. And the choices we make are ultimately even our own responsibility. We are creating a life. We are honoring God, following God, or not, and we're still creating a life. Some choices are just bigger than others. In our text this morning, Paul writes to the church in Rome. He's never been to the church in Rome, never been there. He's offering some friendly advice, if you want to put it that way. He's heard of them, and he wants to address them. He felt a bond to them as brothers and sisters in Christ. He wanted to make clear statements concerning the faith, that they should walk correctly, that they should choose correctly, that they would have a firm grasp on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul had one purpose, one vision. He had one mission and one goal, and that was to share Jesus Christ with the world. And he believed that all Christians should share that same purpose, that same mission, and that same goal. Paul understood that really he was kind of nothing without God, that God was everything. In his sharing and speaking and writing to the Romans is just as relevant today as it was back then. Paul understood that without Christ, we would be cursed, we're separated from God. And Paul's calling us to decide. He's calling us, make a choice. As Christians, it's essential that our choices reveal our obedience to God. Our choices reveal our faith and our belief. Our choices reveal our faith and our belief, whether that's even faith in the world, faith in evil, or faith in that which is good, to honor Christ and to follow God. Our choices reveal our faith and our belief. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or whether you're slaves to obedience, which leads to righteousness. So here's your first one. Who we obey, we serve. Whom we obey, we serve. Oh, we all love God's grace. Pour it on me, Lord. Give me some more grace. I love God's grace. I want to sing about it. I want to testify about it. I want to dance about it. What then? Shall you continue sinning so that grace may increase? Paul makes a pretty clear statement, a rhetorical question. No. No. You know the answer. Should I keep cheating on my wife? I mean, she keeps taking me back. Should I keep lying to my boss? I mean, he keeps paying me anyway. Do I keep cheating on my taxes? Because, you know, the IRS, they're a forgiving bunch of people. Paul calls us to an everyday analogy, particularly in the first century, right? Jews, Gentiles, Christians, they would have understood slavery. Being a slave to someone. Slaves were property. They were owned without rights, without a voice, and without a vote. Slaves in the first century often were because of heavy unpayable debts. Bond servants is the word I'm looking for. They were bond servants. They were a slave to someone that they were indebted to. You owed them, and you became a slave to them. Paul uses this because people understood that analogy. We understand it as well. But I would imagine that nobody in here has been a slave in the sense of someone else's property, as if they own you. Though I felt like a slave in the military. Property of the United States government. We will tell you where to go, when to go, and we will tell you when you can go to the latrine and when not to go to the latrine. You felt like you were a slave. You were owned. Sometimes it feels like we're already a slave ourselves. We're a slave to our car payment. We're a slave to our mortgage. We're a slave to our debts and to our bosses even. We understand what it means to be that. And when a slave was passed from ownership from one master to the ownership of another master, what happened? The authority of the old master was done. And now there was a new authority over the new slave from a new master. It's the same when you go from one job to another. You come under someone else's command. You go from one boss to another boss. We get that. Paul said, we were slaves to sin. Sin was your old boss. Flesh had control of you. Sin was your old master, and you were forced to do all that the evil desires of your heart ordered you to do. And you had no power really to control it. In fact, many of us just gave into it most of our lives, thinking that this was freedom and this was pleasure. And God was calling it sin. You're walking away from me, son. You're walking away from me. Think of your own life. Some of us couldn't wait. We couldn't wait to get out from under the control of our parents so that we might be free to do what we wanted to do, call our own shots. What has God liberated you from? What has God liberated you from? Some things you were powerless to even change until the Lord took ownership of your life, pulled you out from under. What has the Lord delivered you from? What has God liberated you from? Rage, anger, fear, the tongue, depression, substance abuse, suicidal tendencies, porn, gambling, promiscuity. What has the Lord delivered you from? There was an old way of life about you. Do you have a testimony about what God has done? What has he taken you out of? What he's delivered you from? You were a slave to those things of the world. Not anymore. Was there a time when you found yourself in a lifestyle that just repeated itself over and over and over again? Destructive mistakes after destructive mistakes. Listening to bad influences and bad influences on a path of self-destruction accompanied with self-loathing and self-hating. Not even liking what you do or who you are over and over and over again. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. It came to a point I didn't even like me anymore. Some of us come to a place we can't even. Have you ever talked to a smoker? I wish I could quit smoking. I wish I could quit smoking. I wish I could quit smoking. There comes a time and a place when you're in this realm of physical addiction, mental addiction. You're not free. You're in bondage. You're chained up. And you're crying, I wish I could be free, I wish I could be free, I wish I could be free. You are free, but you're making choices every single day. Maybe you're there now, maybe you feel stuck. I can promise you today, there's good news in the house. Today, there's good news in the house. The presence of the Holy Spirit of God is here today, and you can be set free. Free from the sin that corrupts your heart. Free from the sin that corrupts your mind. Call on Jesus. Free yourself from the shackles that bind you. Live a life for Jesus. And He will set you free. What are you bound to? The tongue? You gossip too much? You curse too much? Shooting too much heroin? Slow down. And that lifestyle and those patterns can be completely broken and shattered. Anybody got a testimony about what God can do? Because I got one. I got how He picked me up and cleansed me out. How about you? You've been freed from your old master. Free from sin's power, free from the curse, free from the relentless taunting of an abusive master who only wants to hold you down, free from the heavy weight of guilt, freed from the heavy weight of shame. When slaves, when property were transferred from one owner to another owner, there's a new set of rules, there's a new set of orders to follow, there's a new set of commands. Are you still stuck back there following old commands from an old boss when you're trying to say, I got a new job, baby, but I'm still following that guy? Do you hear what a hypocrite you are? Here's your next slide. From sins, from service to sin to service of God. Whom you obey, you serve. And come unto me who are weary and heavy burdened. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I am not a tormenting boss. If you receive the Holy Spirit of God into your life and you're claiming, I believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins, you have passed from the service of sin to the service of God. Listen to the words I'm going to tell you. You passed on. You passed through. Listen, you passed away. You're dead. You're dead to sin. You're dead to the old way of life. You're dead to that old boss. Your business now is to please God. Not what sin, that old boss, demands and dictates. You are under no obligation to follow sin anymore. You are under no obligation to fulfill the desires of the flesh anymore. You are under no obligation to listen and carry out the instructions of your former boss. Sin is not your master. Can I get an amen from those that would call themselves Christians? Whom we obey, we serve. Our obligations are to Christ. Here's the question. Here's your next slide. Are you a disciple of Jesus or are you just an observer of Jesus? Disciples follow in his footsteps, right? A true disciple has a daily choice every day. Far beyond what clothes you wore and what haircut style you got, far beyond the color of the car that you chose. A true disciple chooses not to serve the old master, to serve the new master God. You can choose to serve the old master, sin, lie, cheat, steal, right? Snort, shoot up, whatever you want to do. But all that leads to death. The wages of sin is, it leads to death. Or you can choose to serve Jesus, to live a life of Christ-like character and display the fruits of the Holy Spirit of God. Man, we need some more fruits of the Holy Spirit of God in the world. We need some more gentleness and kindness and forgiveness and patience and self-control. Man, imagine if you did that and brought that into the world. The Holy Spirit of God, just the fruit of the Spirit, just living in the world, kind of like what God had in mind. Interesting. We're supposed to be his hands and his feet, his voice, ambassadors for the kingdom. We have been granted a great stewardship, great responsibility. Those that continue to ignore God, well, good luck with that, because we know that eternal death awaits you. Those that know the truth and choose to walk in the lie, well, good luck with all your reasoning and all your excuses before a righteous and a holy God. Those that would practice hate instead of love, hate reigns in hell. Those that say, I know Jesus, but refuse to do his commands, don't love God. They don't love Jesus. They say they do, but what they do speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. Those that desire God's blessing and turn away from God and follow some other leading, be careful the path that you choose. There are plenty of trips and snares. Those that call him Lord, Lord, but do not do the will of the Father, and not his disciples. Are you his disciple? Or are you just an observer? I know we have way too many casual observers of Jesus. Too few walking in his footsteps. But I will give you this warning that if you are casual about your walk with Jesus, you will become a casualty. Is Jesus really your new master? Is he really your king? Or are you still stuck back at that old job, trying to do things the old way, trying to get ahead by going backwards, still self-serving? Are you trying to fulfill a spiritual void in your life with physical acts? That's not going to do it. That's not going to make headway with God. What if the pull of the world is more important than the pull of God upon our hearts? And you choose to follow the pull of the world and not the pull of God. What if you choose those old habits and do not submit them to the control of the Holy Spirit? What if money is more important than your soul? That path leads to death and destruction. But you're not on it. You're not there anymore. Don't. You hear this term, backslidden? Don't go back. Don't go back to the old ways. Don't go back to the old boss. Don't backslide back into the bondage, back into the chains. Burn the old bridges. Burn the old bridges. Sin never delivers on what it promises. Sin is like drinking water to quench your thirst, but it's like drinking salt water to quench your thirst. Just picture yourself on a raft and you're just floating out in the ocean. That's, you know, you're Tom Hanks in Castaway. Wilson! Wilson! And you're floating. You know, your mind will start saying, I'm thirsty. I'm hungry, right? I need water. Water? I've got an ocean of water around me. The problem is the water's poison. It contains 7 times the salt of water. And so if you were to drink it like water, your body becomes 7 times thirstier. It doesn't solve the problem. It creates more of a problem. Now your kidneys are starting to shut down because it wants water to flush out all this salt that you just took in. Sin never delivers what it promises. It's a poison. It's like saying, give me some more salt water. The Lord gave me this one this morning. Listen, do we have it, Jody? Sin keeps making demands. But you're never free in sin. You're only free in Christ. You're never free in sin. You're only free in Christ. Some of you should write that down. Plant it embedded into your brain. Here's your next one. A slave of wrong desires becomes a slave to wrong deeds. What you thought was freedom, what you thought was fun, what you thought was good water, it brought you pleasure, turned out to be the worst kind of bondage. The enemy is trying to trap you and ensnare you, spreading falsehood and lies into your own mind so that you'll walk down the wrong path, that you'll make the wrong choice, that you'll feed your flesh instead of honor God. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus would say it this way, no one can serve two masters, for they will hate the one and love the other, be devoted to the one and despise the other. And Jesus at that point is probably talking about money. Jesus was in fact telling us just what Paul is calling us. Make a choice. You can't serve two bosses. You're going to have to serve somebody, right? It's the old Dylan song. It might be the devil. It might be the Lord. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Paul wrote to a young pastor named Timothy, and he told him about Christians. Look around, church full. That Christians would choose to become self-serving rather than obedient to the lordship of Christ. He writes to Timothy, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times, for people will love themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and have no interest in what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act as if they are religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. They will reject the power that could set them free. A slave to wrong desires becomes a slave to wrong deeds. A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. Paul will also go on to tell Timothy, these Christians are counterfeit because they are making daily choices that reflect the old master of self rather than the new master in the lordship of Jesus Christ. Are you a counterfeit Christian? Joshua, the age of 95, just led all these Jews into the promised land. And he tells Israel to make a choice. Some of you are familiar with it. If you are unwilling to serve the Lord, if you're unwilling to serve God, then choose today whom you're going to serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites that are in the land now? But as for me and my house, oh, you know it. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Whom we obey, we end up serving. But there's a second point I want to make here too. Whom we obey, we reflect. Whom we obey, we reflect. We must choose to be slaves of righteousness. A slave is a servant to another, bound in duty and servant in service. I find it interesting that the Bible tells us that to serve is completely a choice. Choose whom you're going to serve. Choose whom you're going to serve. Choose who you're going to serve, because we're going to see it anyway. We're going to see who you've chosen to serve. Choose who you're going to serve. Many Christians are kind of, they've made it an art of kind of like choosing sometimes. This is coming from a pastor's perspective. They choose service to God like they choose food at a buffet. There's a lot of Christian consumerism, right? There's a church on every corner. And then you wake up and you go, what kind of church do I feel like today? King James only version church. Got to find one of those. Do I feel like contemporary music or do a hymns only? I got to be a hymns only church. Do I go in person or I can just watch on TV? You're making choices every day and there's a lot of choices to make. Should I go early? I'm going to go to church today, but should I go early because there's Sunday school? No, I'm not going to do that, but I'll go to church. I'll go to church. If there's a potluck, oh, definitely I'm going. Because I know I'm going to be hungry and they're going to feed me. Oh, come to Sunday evening service, by the way. Sunday evening? Are you kidding? I was just there this morning. The church is like a retail store of just religious services. We throw out a bunch of opportunities and you pick and choose. I hope you like our selection today. I hope the food that was delivered was appetizing. That you enjoyed it. And it's something that you can mull on and chew on. And I'm hoping that you'll leave a generous tip. I'm sorry. Did the gospel offend you today? I'm sorry. Did the Holy Spirit start to work in your heart and in your soul? Was the sermon a bit too salty? There's really a big difference between attending a church and building a church. There's really a big difference between saying, I am a Christian, and then being one. Paul tells us that now we must choose to be servants of the righteous so that we will become holy. It's simple. A true disciple of Jesus, it takes effort. It takes effort. You can't be Christ-like if you do not know what Christ was like. You just think you know. But you're not in the Word. You're not talking to anybody else who has. I see all kinds of effort in people. Man, they make a lot of efforts, and they have awesome abilities to do amazing things. I know that they can get channeled, and they can get focused. They can be committed, and they're steadfast in their beliefs for their sports team. For their hobbies. Committed and steadfast on their job. They're never late. Committed and steadfast for their entertainment. I see this. I can see this in our character. I'm this way. You're this way. We have the abilities to do this. And yet, many times, we choose not holiness. We choose not gentleness. We choose not kindness. We choose to gossip. We choose to betray. We choose to talk. We choose to hurt. Here's a question for your thought to consider, and I hate when the Lord does these things to me, but I think it's for us. How much did you spend last year on entertainment? Movies and games and fun stuff, apps for all your enjoyment. And the Lord, I don't think the Lord's saying don't do that. I think he's saying, how much did you invest into becoming a better Christian? How much did you invest in a Bible study, a marriage counsel? How much did you invest in going to a Bible study? Because you have the capabilities. We see how steadfast you are, and I can see even myself how committed I am. I'm willing to spend money for my entertainment and my pleasure and my joy, which is fine. But then am I developing any gentleness, fruits of the Holy Spirit in my life? Am I learning about what Christ was like, how he chose to love people that spit on him, how he would get to a place to be able to say, pray for those that persecute you, love your enemies? No, I'm going to watch TV. I'm watching, I'm on a driving range in the Golf Pro, hitting golf balls, bam, bam, he's hitting great golf balls, bam, bam. So I don't hit golf balls very well, but he's hitting golf balls. And he looks up, and here comes a guy. Man, he's immaculate. He looks really good. Got the right hat, right color shoe. I mean, he's just looking, he looks good, like he belongs on the golf course. And the Golf Pro just said, here, I'll give you his words. People will spend more time on what they wear than they will on their golf game. You might look the part, but you're not it. You'll spend more on entertainment, pleasure, and sin than you will on the development of what it is to be Christ-like. What do you see value in? I think that's where the Lord was trying to go. What do you see value in? I think you're worth the investment. Invest in yourself, that you might have a more pliable soul. Jesus thought the world of you. He still does. To have Christ-like character is a matter of choice for each of us. To live a life of righteousness requires us to make daily choices. Because after all, here's your last one. Our lives are going to be a self-portrait. It's a portrait. People will gaze and examine the portrait to see how much beauty has been painted. I've attended and been to way too many funerals. And some of the most beautiful portraits of people are painted at funerals. Sometimes the paintings that people are trying to paint, not very accurate. But sometimes you get into a funeral and you see the life of the person illuminated by all the things the other people are saying about them. The life that they painted, the life that God and them created together, just illuminates the room. God painted the portrait of their lives and they allowed him to do so. They chose God and God took the reins. God was their boss, not their flesh, not this world. God. And they chose God every day, every day, every day. Would you allow God to be your boss? Would you allow God to be your master? The artist who draws out your life, who fills in the blanks, who paints in the colors, who adds all the wonderful highlights. See, whenever the word of God is preached, there's always a call for action. So you'll have to take some action in your own heart and in your own mind. Because what I've just given you is a great monologue. That's just one person going blah, 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 blah. God wants a dialogue with you. He wants to hear from you, and he wants to speak to you. The Lord challenges you with a choice this morning. Choose this day whom you will serve. Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, thank you for this moment and this opportunity where we can gather together, brothers and sisters in Christ, and learn of you. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit continue to minister into our hearts and into our souls, that you would challenge us and change us, mold us and shape us, Father. I would pray, Father, and be so bold as would you give us more choices? And help us to choose you. Help us to honor you, to glorify you. This is our heart's desire, that we would serve you and serve you well, to bring you honor and glory, that all the world would know Jesus Christ is the answer. We come before you with thanksgiving and praise and adoration in the name of your Son. Amen. God bless you guys.